Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday Hour. Today, we have a discussion on how to prepare for the afterlife. And we're going to get started with that in just a moment, actually. But first, I want to invite our callers and listeners to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Call in number 914-338-0164. That's how to get in touch with us today. And you may press 1 to speak with us. But we have some time to talk. Neil?
Well,
oh, goody.
good. Well, let's see. Preparing. Oh, you're...
Sorry.
You're just about getting ready to get there.
What is the afterlife? What are you going to hit me?
No, you're joking on hot coffee.
No, I'm laughing because I don't know.
Well,
you're amusing me.
Well, the reason I paused is because the conversation will be meaningless to anyone who doesn't believe in an afterlife. And it will be meaningless for anyone who believes we just die or turn into dust that we automatically go to heaven. We're dealing with the idea that crossing over is conditional. There's a conditional factor in there insofar that what we do on the planet during our lifetime will have consequences, either good or bad, for the way that we venture forth into the astral realm after our physical bodies are done with. Now you can interrupt me.
I don't believe this would be an interruption. I don't think that's the definition of an interruption.
No, because I had to get to a period of a thought before you cut in.
Well, what I was going to say, but I'm glad you didn't let me cut in, because you're right. There's a lot of people that may be listening to our show that think that once you die, you go to heaven if you live a good life. I was going to state prior to you mentioning that most people that are listening to our show believe in an afterlife. I mean, generally, most people that don't believe in an afterlife aren't going to listen to psychic shows.
Yeah, we get a lot of hecklers.
Well, I'm sure they're not tuning in for the conversation if they're hecklers. They're here to heckle. So we don't get a lot of hecklers either. That's an overstatement.
2 hours with a pure existentialist, and all we did was talk about whether this world was real or not, more or less the afterlife. I mean, there's all different kinds of thoughts about it. And we're monitoring and steering our conversation, so to speak, into the element that you need to prepare for the afterlife. And that doesn't mean that you rush off to confession, or you put on certain clothes, or you do a ritual or something like that. You swim the English Channel.
You know,
what?
I'm interrupting, but we watched an interesting movie last night, which kind of relates to our discussion, Raging Bull. Obviously not a recently released picture, but I'm really behind the times when it comes to seeing movies in a timely manner. So what was that, 1976 it was made or something like that?
82.
Or 82, whatever. Anyway, it was many years ago, but I was actually observing you know, there was obviously, what was the guy's name? Jake LaMotta,
yeah,
the boxer. And anyway, from the Bronx or Brooklyn, Italian, tons of Catholic symbols or pictures. What is the word I'm looking for?
Symbols.
Icons.
Yeah,
all over the home of this guy. Obviously, heavily Catholic, but I mean, God, the life this person led. I mean, it was kind of disgusting to me. I actually didn't enjoy the movie as much as I thought I would, just because of the nature of the protagonist character. I mean, I did not like him at all. He was a creep. So, I mean, there's an example of people thinking they're preparing for the afterlife because they have this, you know, memorabilia of Christ or the Virgin Mary around the house, and they're, you know, beating their wife and
well, we all know, you know, the mafia surrounds themselves around priests, and they go to weddings, and they have their eyes get teary, and they give gifts, and you know, that what you surround yourself with has nothing to do with your inner soul. Preparing for the afterlife is not an outward presentation of your life. It's an inward presentation of your life. So basically, the first rule of thumb is, who are you inside of you? Not so much as what went on outside of you and how did you respond to it? What did you do? It's more of the inner. Why is that so? Because we don't leave the planet with our outer bodies, with our skin, our bones, our brains, and we don't leave the planet with what we have attained. And we basically, to some extent, don't leave the planet with what we've accomplished in terms of the appointment of where we are going in the afterlife. I mean, someone could be an accomplished mafia. Someone could be an accomplished corrupt tycoon. It doesn't matter what you can be accomplished, but that's not what's going to be the criteria of the walk of the spirit and soul. So what we have to look at is the interior landscape, soulscape, spiritscape of a human being, and how well that part of a person's dynamic is going to be ready for the afterlife and where it's going to go from there. That's why I believe a lot of souls find themselves totally desolate when they enter the astral realm, because they thought they were doing okay or they accomplished a lot, but they didn't get it. They simply didn't get it. Like the rich man who thought he did great works and was told, that's not going to get you anywhere if you can't let go of everything you've accomplished and follow a spirit note. It's a spiritual note. Some people want to follow a spiritual note with comfort. As long as they're comfortable, they can follow it. Make it uncomfortable to where the essence of spirit means you have to give up everything you've accomplished for the sake of spirit. That's the real criteria and motivation for the afterlife in terms of its higher qualities and values and destination factor. So how do you prepare for that? Well, you're not going to prepare for it because you call psychic shows, and you're not going to prepare for it because you give psychic readings. Forget it. It's going to get you nowhere. You're dead in the water. That's not what does it. It go to church, you're still dead in the water. Praise God's name, you're still dead in the water. There's a deeper soul beat to transcendence. Now, some people will say,
we're talking about transcendence on a permanent level, not just transcending to the next master number, because there are things that a soul needs to accomplish from lifetime to lifetime just to graduate to the next level, much less the stage of the soul. So, right. I mean, we're talking the major transcendence factor. How do you finish the planet, not get, to stage 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or whatever it may be?
There's all different levels. And And it says this, many rooms in my father's
mansion. Because sometimes, obviously, a soul can do so poorly in a lifetime that they can be demoted or stay on that master number and not graduate to the next level. So, I mean, you know, graduating to the next level in a lifetime is an accomplishment.
Right. And
in itself.
Dumbbell philosophy, it doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. None of these things matter. Now, we each have our compartment of how we define the afterlife, and we each have our compartment as to how we define how we get there and where the status is. Christians will say you can only do it through Jesus Christ. That's it. And you've got to turn your life over to Jesus Christ and follow him verbatim. That's the Christian viewpoint. Others are going to have a different viewpoint. The ultimate solution to the answer of transcendence from my viewpoint, is going to be up to God. I can't judge anyone according to how they feel. I've talked to so many people in my lifetime, and some will say, I'm not Christian, I'm not Jewish, I'm Muslim. Does that mean I don't get to go? I don't know. That's not up to me. That's not up to me to say yes or no. I think what the ultimate solution to the first step of transcending and getting prepared for the afterlife is one's total devotion and faith to their creator, and under the assumption that you're doing it with all forms of humanity. You're not killing and praising God. God be praised while you chop somebody's head off. That's not the way to transcend. There are certain obvious words we can apply: love, compassion,
faith, humility, sacrifice, grace.
These seems to be the clothing of what the adjectives or the nouns of what we designate as the parts of speech to spirituality. But then there's there's that other notion that even at doing all of these things, does it really hit the core of the answer to transcending? I don't know.
Right, and especially when considering the definition of the terms and what level to which someone achieves, you know, what level their faith is at, what level, you know, each of those adjectives are fulfilled.
Right. You know, it.
Because there, for example, someone can go to church and claim to have a lot of faith, but it doesn't mean, and they may have faith, but it doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to transcend just because they have faith.
Right. And a synagogue, mosque, what going to a place of worship, well, I mean, that's obviously a characteristic of faith to some extent, but the conduct of life is measured by every hair in your head, every thought in your brain. And so there's some kind of great evaluator up there that collects all the DNA of the soul and spirit, plus the body. And all of that is probably factored in. I don't know if it's like turning in a term paper or your final exam, and you're sitting there biting your nails hoping you passed, or you got an A or a B or whatever. Maybe some of it's like that. The souls that I've been privileged to communicate with, and I believe I have, I get mixed messages what it's like out there. Some seem to ascend, some are walking on the astral plane for a while, some are preparing to come back, some are gratified that they're on their astral plane and they'll be ascending soon thereafter from there, and they want to be around their families. There's so many different stories I've heard, and assuming I'm not totally schizophrenic, that I can only assume that there's a vast variety of outcomes that we could possibly face when we leave the body for the last time. It's encouraged me to at least be alert to the conduct of life. I'm worried when I cross over. I'll be worried. Am I going to make it? What's going to happen? Where do I go? Who am I going to meet? Do I have to come back? Am I going to ascend? I don't know. What I can only say is that I'm worried enough about it to conduct myself in such a way that part of my faith is based on the fact of being worried. I'm a little bit nervous. But that is a link to the consciousness of a consequence. And when you have the consciousness of a consequence, which leads to the consciousness of God, you're at least starting at some raw point of reverence, of respect, of conduct, as opposed to those who say, I'll do whatever I want. I'll go get forgiveness. I'll go confess my sins. On the Day of Atonement, I'll release everything. I'll say I'm sorry after I do this. I don't know if all that works, because the true essence of spirituality is to think before you act. You've got to think first. And that involves the brain, and the brain involves the consciousness of a presence of God, if in this case.
Well, I mean, when we talk about fear being the motivating factor of faith, I mean, that seems like a contradiction a little bit to me. I'm believing in it because I'm afraid of what will happen if I don't. I mean, that's not really a high ethical standard.
The Old Testament says fear God.
They do, but they're then. I mean, yeah, maybe as a base.
Christ didn't suggest that we shouldn't be afraid, and woe to those. He instilled fear, and I bring strife, and I bring difficulties. He made it very plain that we are living on a physical plane where we need to be concerned.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But if a person's motivation is only based on fear and doesn't go beyond that, how can transcendence even be possible?
No,
that's ridiculous.
You're reading into. I'm saying that my sense of fear leads to the suggestion that I'm aware of God's power, and that's a healthy fear. I'm not walking around like Woody Allen. I have a brain tumor the size of Atlanta. I'm talking about the sense of the respect and fear of God. We know several people who curse God, who have no fear of
that
God.
That is true. We
do not believe in God.
Well, they believe in God when things work, but then curse them when things don't work, which is kind of disgusting. But
throughout, 40 years I've been doing this. And some people remarkably come to a reading and go, well, I don't believe in God. This is interesting to me, and I just want to. Am I going to, the real estate?
It's true. There are people that have a definite ambiguity about faith or God and still believe that psychic energy has its power. And they think being a psychic is limited to the human mind and there's nothing higher beyond it.
Yeah,
so that's true.
We've reached this popular place where we believe that all psychics are connected to God. They aren't. And not all psychics have to believe.
Okay, we've got we had a couple callers. We have a caller let's bring on before they think we're not taking calls. Hi, 919.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Kay.
Kay? K-A-Y?
Yes, K-A-Y.
Hi.
Hi. I'm not sure what information you need. I'm actually new to this.
So you're a first-time caller. Hi. So, Kay, well, what's your birth date? Where are you calling from, too?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. My birthday is 12/29/66, 4:20 a.m.
Wait a second. Just the birth date.
I'm sorry?
Again. Just tell us your birth date again. The time doesn't matter.
12/29/66.
56, 56 or 66?
66.
66, okay. Why were you thinking Atlanta for some reason?
Because I said the brain, a tumor of the brain the size of Atlanta.
Did you?
I believe I did.
12/13/14. Huh, interesting. Okay. All right. And do you have a question today?
I do have a question. My manager has been out on leave, and she's just recently come back to work. And, of course, it's a little awkward. And my question is, how do we see her return playing out for the office and for our work relationship? I'm just wondering if she's going to stay for a while.
And she was out on leave, like a medical leave, or...?
Yes, she decided, well, things got a little bit tough, and she left on leave, understandably, because she needed to. However, it was during the most critical portion of what our job is. She left during the high time of what we do.
Okay, but her leave was, she had, I mean, this was a, her leave,
yes,
leaving
yes.
the job was necessary. There was no way for her to avoid it.
From my understanding, yes.
Okay.
Only reason I'm a little hesitant on that because, of course, it's legal, and she, you know, it's never a discussion. But she did. She was having some issues. She was having some type of management issues prior to my getting there with our chief. So her departure just came up unexpectedly.
It was an unexpected departure. She was having problems with management above her at the time, and she suddenly
yes.
went on leave during this critical time.
Yes.
How long was she
exactly.
out? Like
2 months.
2 months?
2 months.
Okay.
And her return was just as unexpected.
So how was she, what was your expectation for the duration of her leave?
To continue doing what I've been doing.
I mean, I'm sorry, maybe I need to rephrase that. Did you expect her leave to be longer than 2 months?
Yes.
Okay. And so now she's back, and your question is, how are things going to go with her?
Yes, that's correct.
Do the problems with the upper management still exist between your boss? I mean...
Yes.
They do, so there's still that factor going on. And do you personally, is your relationship with her personal, on a professional level, a good one, or has it been negative?
That is the funny thing about it. Before her departure, I had only been working with her for approximately 4 weeks. And so it was very, very good because it's like, that's what caught it completely off guard. I've only been here for 3 months. So I basically had to step up, and I did great. No, I'm very fortunate for that. But the time period that we worked together, yes, it was very amicable. It's just a little weird right now.
Okay.
Well, you know, okay, she's caught between having to work and not being totally happy there. So there's a drive to leave, and there's a necessity to come back. I have a feeling that this person has a great sense of responsibility, though. So something is still tying her to work. And as we speak, I don't know if this is going to answer your question, but I would say there's the chances of her staying are larger than leaving. You know, sometimes you have to go through an altercation and get things cleared up. Because it's in the interest of both parties to remain stable. And that's what may be happening here. You know, if she left and left at a high peak of time and then was expected to come back, there's a need for, you know, she wasn't replaced, in other words. And she was accepted back into the fold. So there's a bargaining problem. There's a broad bargaining problem. I think it's going to be possibly worked out. Maybe not, but that's what I thought. vibes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you did hit on some very good points on that one, because it is, I do see the necessity for her to work. I can just tell she has a necessity to work. No question on that.
I want to ask you something, though, Kay. I want to ask you something. To your knowledge, does anyone at your work, and this is all confidential, we're not mentioning names, but have you ever heard of anyone having a drinking problem?
Not sure. I could see that. Yes, I can see that. Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to get a read on a vibration.
I can see that.
Well, there's some, the problem is the internal structure of where you work needs to be worked out. It's not entirely the fault of the person that left.
Yes.
The system isn't working right, and they're aware of it. They're trying to correct it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. It makes tons of sense. I mean, total, absolute, nothing but complete sense. I totally understand what you mean on that. And my presence, as so many people have said, has been such a ray of sunshine. My manager and I are completely opposite. We're totally opposite, and in some ways that's good. So my presence has been so welcoming. And when she came back this week, it was like you could hear the hush that kind of came across the office as she was walking in. And it makes me feel a little awkward, because it makes everybody awkward, but it makes me feel awkward because everybody was so at peace and so happy with her not seeing me. And work was getting done so wonderfully and smoothly.
You just trailed off. The last part of what you said, we didn't quite hear. You're saying...
Oh, I'm sorry. I said while she was gone, things worked so wonderfully smoothly, and work was getting done in such a great time frame, and there was very little delay, and even with the vendors that I work with, vendor management, they have just raved on about how things have, in my 2 months working with them, I had gotten more done than they had been used to. So it was like a cloud that went across the office when she walked back in the other day. And it's just awkward. It is very, very awkward.
So despite your positive relationship with her, her presence is creating a negative environment in the workplace.
It is. It really is.
Well, hopefully things will be worked out. I mean, Neil, you think things are going to be worked out. What kind of...
Well, there's a compelling factor. There's a compelling factor to get it worked out. So there's no immediate sense of even leaving, because it's in the best interest to everybody to work things out.
And the fact that she returned earlier shows that she has a dedication to the job and obviously responsibility, which is a positive thing. There's a lot of background noise, Kay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I actually stepped into a restaurant. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about that. I stepped into a restaurant. Yes. Okay. Well, I thank you so much. I do. I really appreciate the time that you've taken, because you guys have been very, very, very helpful. Just knowing that some of the things that you've asked, are still on point. It's just like it's clear.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it's helped. Okay, good luck.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks. Okay, we have another caller, Neil, 845 area code.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, Lucy, hi.
Good. Yeah, I was listening. Sure. Yes. Okay.
So what's going on? 1662.
Yes. For a little bit, I was feeling tired. Now I feel better.
Good.
And I am here working, and I say, well, let me listen to your show. Come, you tell me about any changes in any changes around me or anything that you can spot.
Any change going on
in my life?
Right,
yeah,
now.
Yes, can be. Yeah. Mhm.
Okay, how's everything at work, real quick?
Oh, yeah. I change my attitude. I just keep quiet. I work whatever they give me and go with life.
Really? So, are you able to get everything done that's being piled up on you?
Yeah. No, I just go. I just gonna go with the flow. I'm not resisting anything, and then I just go and do my best. And like Neil say, I'm being very diplomatic in everything that I do.
That's good. That's good. Are you planning any travel anytime soon?
Yes, March next year and April.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So you are. Are you?
Yes.
Where are you going?
In March, I'm gonna go to Florida for a week with one of my friends. On April, I'm going to go with my son for a trip too.
In April, where are you going with him?
Hawaii.
Yeah, I was thinking tropical, but and both Florida and Hawaii are tropical, so you are traveling. Okay, so while that's coming up, Neil, anything you're getting?
Well, no, that's good. She's traveling. The other thing I'm picking up, Lucy, is you're going to be encountering somebody that has a dog. Now,
exciting.
Yeah. Well, you know, the person has a dog, but that's not the issue. It's somebody who it almost looks like you go into a person's home and they have a dog. And then you sit down at a table and talk with this person, but they just happen to have a dog. So now the dog's out of the way. But it seems to be an issue you have with somebody. It's not a bad issue, but I only see you sitting at a round table with this person and they're discussing their home or real estate. I'm not sure. I'm only getting shadows of this conversation in this image. But I don't know if perchance you know anyone currently with a dog, or you know, have any friends that are having any kind of home or real estate problems as we speak.
Okay, I do know a lot of people that has dogs, and then one of those persons, she is living by herself in a big house. She's paying a lot of real estate as a stay. Town tax and what is the two tax, school tax and town tax. Then I say, just let me know when you're ready, and we do some cleaning in your house, like sage or sometime Palo Santo. Then she say, okay, but then that was it. But then I told her when she gets ready to really disattach herself from the house. But I don't know, that's the one that I think.
Yeah.
But then.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. I say, well, I help you out because they look at me when they need some kind of light. But then our relationship is not going so well because sometimes they don't, when I tell them something, they really take it hard. Like, I say, well, sometimes I stop telling you things because it's like you say, oh, be very diplomatic. I say, well, thank you so much for your advice, and then I'm being very diplomatic. But these kind of people, you will tell them what you see or what you feel, and then they get mad with you. It's like, oh, you know, it's like, okay. You know what I mean,
Yeah.
Then they look at me when they really need me. Otherwise, they will be just stay away from Lucy. Stay away from Lucy because she has a big mouth, you know.
Yeah.
Then I say, well, you asked me to, and sometimes they get mad because I see or I feel something and I don't tell them. They say, oh, why you didn't tell me? I say, well, because I feel, I don't know, I just didn't tell you. And then they get mad with me because I don't tell them, and they get me mad with me because I tell them. Then it's like, whatever, you know? But I did offer my services to her and say, well, I'll help you out if you want to.
Okay, so that validates the dog.
And the helping of a real estate
right.
problem.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, and you'll do sage, whatever. But that's what, I don't know, those are two things. I mean, there's nothing seems to be overly dramatic going on right now.
You're it sounds like things are, yeah, things are good at the job, better.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Unless you have a pending question.
We do have a call. Just to let this caller from 515 know that we're going to be getting to
you within 5 minutes.
Yes. This person has come in and out, so please hang on because,
you'll be
you know, keep your place in
minutes.
Line. Go ahead, Lucy.
Okay.
Anything
else? What were we talking about? Okay, no, that's the thing I was talking to them, and then they got, I don't know, they get, at this point they're a little bit sour with me because I told them something, and then they got very mad. But still, I told her anytime when you feel like, I'm there for them. But then they told me, if I can do all for them, why I don't do it for myself? I say, well, I'll do it for myself, but doesn't mean that I'm perfect. But then what you see about that, like, everything is going well in my life? I think
yeah.
so.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you're giving a good report. I mean, that's a part of it too. You've got some travel plans. Things are going better at work. You know, maybe there's a little conflict with this person that you're doing the sage for, but that can be worked out and, you know, dealt with. I mean, that's not a big deal. Is there anything else specific that you wanted to ask before we move on to the next caller?
Okay. Yeah. Specific. Let me see. No, I think everything is good. I think so.
Okay. Okay. So that, I mean, I think that is a, you know, good check-in.
Yeah.
But keep in touch with us, Lucy.
Thank you so much.
As you always do. We appreciate your call. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. And thank you so much. Blessings.
Bye.
Okay. 515.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, you're welcome. What's your name, please?
Stephanie? Yes.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, wow, really specific. Thank you. Okay. And what brings you to the show, Stephanie?
So there's a lot of changes going on at work. And wondering if you see them, my employer, letting go of myself, my boss, or moving us to a different area of the company, or I feel the feeling something's coming. I just don't know what.
Okay. What's your birth date?
8/5/76.
5/19/76. Okay. 13/23. 36/9. Just we haven't talked to you ever, have we?
I think so, a while back.
Really? Why don't I remember you? I feel like I would remember the name Stephanie. I don't know what we talked about, obviously, if I don't remember. Did we talk to you about just real quickly, did we talk to you about she's 36?
Probably not.
Yeah.
There's more love, probably.
Love. So you would have had a change in 2012. Stephanie?
Yes, a job change.
A job change.
End of 2011.
Yeah, but that applies. That's within 8 months
yeah.
of your
mm-hmm.
36th birthday. So job change,
yeah.
which kind of relates to what you're talking about now. You're not going through a job change necessarily, but you're calling and asking about your job and
yeah.
what's going on at work. I don't know why. Okay, anyway, I'm just... Go ahead, Neil. I'm wondering what industry you're in, but maybe you might pick up on that.
Well, you're asking if there's going to be a change. The matter of your work is one issue, but you're asking, is there going to be a change at work? It seems like you're your employer might be letting go of people. I think there are going to be maybe two people let go. It seems like the employer is irritated with work performance. Now, that doesn't mean that he's accurate in his analysis, but he's very irritated. And there seems to be one, maybe I'm wrong here, Stephanie, but there seems to be one person that confronted him that said some things, and he took it in, but it irritated him. I don't know if you're aware of that, but someone seemed to have had words with him, because there seems to be some, I don't know if it's corruption or if it's just not, it's just malfunctioning, the thing at the job. But two people I'm concerned about. I'm picking up in totality an assemblage of eight people. But so far you can respond to that if anything connects.
Yeah, well, there was an incident which turned out to be sexual harassment. I brought it to my manager, who failed to investigate it not once but twice when she heard a rumor about it. An investigation eventually ensued, found out that I was sexually harassed, and the person was let go. And other things came up in the investigations about my boss and how she was not doing things properly. Like divulging other employees' salary type information, financial information, having me sit in on performance evaluations, that kind of thing. Now they're starting to take away my job duties and hers, and they put us under a new functional department, which she's been focusing on that, and they've been excluding me from the new department's duties, I guess. So I'm not sure. I have a feeling that I'm being retaliated against.
Yeah.
And that they might let me go, my boss go, or move us somewhere.
Well, I'm picking up retaliation too, so that was a thought I was having. See, they've got to be careful, because if there's retaliation, you can present another lawsuit to them that you were discriminated and retaliated against because you were the subject of the harassment.
Yeah.
So now they're in trouble, because usually if they're not using their brains, they will start to exclude and isolate you and then randomly or systematically get you out of there. But the problem is that then you can sue for retaliation, and that still is a form of harassment based on the extension of the sexual harassment. So they're either purely stupid and they're going to do that, or they're going to pressure you in such a way that it can be configured that you quit on your own, and they would just went on with business at hand. So
I feel like they're kind of setting me up to fail with this new department. I mean, I handle all of our old job duties, where my boss has been included in meetings with the new area, which neither one of us know much about, but they've been including her.
Did you have an attorney for the sexual harassment?
Well, the problem is that it was too late for the EEOC complaint. It was over a year when I informed another. I didn't know what happened. Someone else saw someone they thought they saw, took a photo of me while I was bending over of my chest area.
Are you certain then that there's a limitation, given you only had the information, a time limitation on the notification of the EEOC? There's no possibility because you weren't aware of the problem that they would deal with your complaint?
So basically, I spoke to a couple of attorneys who said there's not much that I can do now unless there's retaliation or they let me go. So the attorney that I spoke to earlier this year, I dropped up a bunch of documentation because I've been recording calls, printing out emails, making sure things are in writing, and I'm still waiting to hear back from her. And that was like 2 weeks ago. So I'm getting a little nervous that way too.
Well, that's what I was asking. You have attorney interaction. That's what I was asking, and you do.
Yeah.
There's not enough for them to respond to. What they're saying to you is wait until it gets darker. And yeah. if it proceeds darker, then you'll grab their attention. But the reason they're not responding to you now is there's nothing. They don't want you to bug them just because there's, you know, nothing really to report, but you're not feeling good.
You said you were moving to a different department though. Go ahead.
So after the second investigation, then they moved us under a new functional department that they just created. And then that's when they started to take away my job responsibilities, not just the mine, but my boss. But I got stuck still doing all of our work while she was given the opportunity to be included in meetings and projects with our new area. So now I'm like, I don't have much to contribute to this new area, and I'm like the oddball out on our team.
Yeah, you've created yourself in this situation. You've created yourself into becoming a risk factor for them. They don't know what you might do, and everyone's afraid of you. So they're trying to isolate you, so you have no power or no point of leverage. And that's what they're trying to do. Just stay in there. Go ahead.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm waiting to hear back from the attorney. If I can file an EEOC complaint now for retaliation for taking away my job duties.
Right. That's what I would imagine.
Or if you should wait.
Until they fire you?
I would probably, your case is going to be stronger if you wait, because They have every right to move you into a different area, but you want to gather more evidence.
Have they cut pay at all? I mean, is there anything like that?
No, and our review is in like February, March, so I won't know until then. If I'm here until then, I had one psychic tell me I won't be there by the end of the year.
Well, I wouldn't listen to what other psychics say. I would be, you know, stick with one psychic. That's my personal advice. And I would say, here is a good place to be. You're going to get good advice from our show.
You know,
the fact is, because they haven't cut your pay at all, waiting until there's more concrete evidence of retaliation is going to be smarter.
Yeah,
I agree.
You shouldn't be worried right now about whether you're going to be there or not. You should be worried. You should be concerned that you continue to do your job as best you can under the circumstances. And the more they do, you document everything. And then if they fire you, you know, you'll have enough credible evidence that they're retaliating. We think they are, but you need sound proof, and there's not enough, because if they want to move you to a different area and they have a defense for that, and they argue that they're not isolating you, you don't have much to go on.
They're not giving me any of their work to do, though.
I don't care what they're not. You see, you don't have enough yet. You're building.
Okay.
So you're building. You see, what you're saying, here's what you're saying, Stephanie. You want to get to 60 miles an hour, and right now you've got 40 miles of evidence.
Yeah.
We're not at 60 yet. So I understand that they're doing things to you. We are in agreement with you. And maybe the other psychic's right. Maybe you won't be there. But what I'm saying is you need to be strategic. And in order to be strategic, you need to hang in there. Let them, if they do bad things to you, good.
And she's documenting. She is documenting.
Yeah.
What's the nature of the company you work for? What's the business?
It's an insurance, a property casualty insurance company.
Okay, well, the more they do to you, the better your results. And it doesn't sound like you're going to be there anyways, because it's not healthy. It's not a good fit. It's not a good environment.
No.
So you might as well leave.
Yeah. Well, my plan was to, first my boss told me that she wanted me to have more IT skills, which is not required for my job. Went up to where I got my bachelor's, and there's all these options, and I go, what do you want me to learn for my job, since it's really not, you know, required? She's like, well, I don't know. You can take this insurance exam. And I'm like, she's a gaslighter. So anyway, I decided to go ahead and take some computer classes. And then I was hoping once I finished with that, in about a year, then leave. If they don't let me go prior to that.
So you're planning on staying longer than the psychic that said you were going to be leaving told you. I mean, so it sounds like your intention is to stay longer unless there's something that happens to prompt your dismissal. So
your discomfort at the job it's a means to an end. The more discomfort you have, the more they harass you, the more they isolate you, the more they pile work on you, the more they do this and that, the more you document. And then then if they fire you, you have tremendous leverage. If you leave, you're not going to have the same leverage because you left. You left the situation. You want them to, you actually want them to harass you right now.
Do you happen to have a copy of that? Sure, I bet you don't. That was taken of you?
No, but and because it was like over a year out that it happened, I said it to the manager that I did tell it to, who did, because, you know, it's part of protocol. They're supposed to report it. And he did, unlike my boss. And I'm like, I don't know what good is it now. She could have lied about it. She could have deleted it. Well, turns out they interviewed her and she admitted to it. And she said she didn't have it on her phone and she said she didn't share it on social media. But there's no proof that she's telling the truth. And apparently she's done this with other things, like taking pictures of homeless people walking down the street, posting them on social media, making fun of them. So,
well, I mean, that's not nice that she can do that. I mean, that's not a job, a violation of her job, that, you know, rules of her employer. But taking a picture of your chest and doing that in itself, whether she puts it on social media or not, is. And the fact that she admitted it and they didn't do anything, it sounds like a toxic workplace. But if you can bide your time and either things improve or you are dismissed and then you go after them, I mean, that sounds like the best plan of action.
That's my thing is I pretty much am going to stay until they fire me unless I get done with school in about a year and a half-ish. But it just sucks. I try not to let it get to me.
Yeah. Well,
Hang in there. Hang in there. There's worse things. This might be a means to an end that makes your life better in the long run.
Yeah.
Stephanie, we're out of time because the show is actually ending right now. But, you know, you're welcome to check back in with us. You can follow us on Facebook. And, you know, we can help you by working on your energy field. And, you know, we hope that you keep in touch with us.
I will. I appreciate your advice. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Take care. All right. We are out of time. Back on the air Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.